You see people bring up toxic masculinity, and a lot of times people bring it up because they just hate masculinity.
Sitting here telling men to cry more. That is why we have the problems we have in the world.
Learn how to deadlift. Learn how to squat. But that's part about being a man.
The moment a man is held hostage by what his woman thinks, he has lost his masculinity.
But specifically, what toxic masculinity represents is masculinity untethered from moral accountability to other men.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. And now your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. My name is Adam Tyson, and I'm the host of this show as we talk to young men about how to grow and mature in your faith. Gen Z, I'm coming after you. And I want to encourage you today that all that glitters isn't gold. You know, during the California Gold Rush, people would shout, "Eureka!" when they found gold. And of course, some of them shouted, "Eureka!" just a little too soon, only to discover that they had struck it rich. In fool's gold, that is. Nothing like biting down on a nugget, breaking your tooth, and then realizing that you're not retiring early after all. You're just going to be paying the dentist for the rest of your life. Eureka, a simple Greek word meaning, "I found it." Eureka became that slogan for gold diggers who headed west in the mid-1800s in search of gold. And for James Marshall, who was one of the first to discover the precious metal in 1848, and the 49ers who followed him, the term Eureka, or "I found it," meant instant riches, early retirement, and carefree living. But as it would be, prospectors soon found that not everything that appeared to be gold actually was. Riverbeds and rock quarries could be full of golden specks that were completely worthless. Many gold diggers ended up with pots full of iron pyrite, also known as fool's gold. Miners had to be careful to distinguish the difference between the two because their lives and welfare depended on it. I mean, it's called fool's gold for two reasons, guys. Number one, it fooled you into thinking it was gold. Just because it was shiny, it glittered, and it got your heart pounding because you wanted to strike gold so bad, doesn't mean that it actually is gold. Right? And then, so it's called fool's gold because it fooled you into thinking it was gold. And then number two, it made you look like a fool when you took loads and loads of it to the bank, only to find out that you had been worked over by a bunch of pretty rocks that are worth next to nothing. I mean, fool's gold has no real inherent value. Fool's gold has no worth. Fool's gold is not the real thing. So it was only the experienced miners that could tell the difference between fool's gold and real gold. And sometimes you could tell by looking at it, but oftentimes distinguishing between the two wasn't that easy. I mean, miners actually developed two simple tests to help them discern what was genuine and what was not. The first test was to bite it. Gold is not the hardest of metals, and if you bite it real hard, then maybe you could leave a tiny little mark. But if when you bite it, it breaks your tooth, then you know it's not gold. The second test was to scrape it on some white stone like ceramic. True gold leaves a yellow streak, whereas fool's gold left a greenish black mark. And so wise miners relied on these tests because both their fortune and their lives depended upon it. Now, spiritually speaking, obviously, we're transitioning here to what does this have to do with us as Christians? And that would be Christians often find themselves in very similar positions to those of the gold rushers of 1849. I mean, when confronted with various doctrines and religious teachings, which might seem shiny on the surface, they claim to be true, believers must be very careful to be able to tell the difference between the doctrines that are biblically sound and those that aren't. And so wise Christians will put to the test the teaching that they're hearing to see if it's just fool's gold or if it's actually the real thing. And young men, that's what you need to be doing, right? You need to be discerning and testing everything that you hear to make sure that it's really coming from the authority of God's word. And as was true in the gold rush, all that glitters in today's spiritual world of teaching isn't gold. And Christians must be very cautious about being caught up in some type of spiritual fool's gold. And so wise Christians must not accept something as true without first testing it to see what it looks like in the light of God's word. And if the teaching fails the test in keeping with the truth of the Bible, then Christians should reject the false teaching and warn others to do the same. On the other hand, if the teaching is measured against the reliable and accurate and authoritative Word of God, then Christians should embrace this priceless treasure and endorse it wholeheartedly. This ought to lend itself to great happiness and rejoicing. I mean, California gold diggers would cry Eureka only when they found true gold. And when it comes to spiritual truth, Christians should learn to do the same. And so what we're doing is today, we're beginning a two-part series that will help you, young man, build your biblical discernment. Okay, I don't want you to be fooled, guys. I want you to know the truth. And so let me give you three imperatives of how you can put spiritual teaching to the test so that you can discern truth from error. All right, I'm taking this out of 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God or from many false prophets that have gone out into the world." So test the spirits to see if they're from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. And so what we're reading about here in 1 John chapter 4 is we got to be able to exercise discernment. And guess who's going to help us? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has a role here to help you, young man, so you don't get fooled. And so just like the Gospel of John, this letter, the letter of 1 John, was written by the Apostle John. And this letter was written to promote true fellowship between Christians with God and with each other. And this book was given in order to bring hope and to produce happiness in a Christian truly knowing Christ. This book was also written that we could learn how, as the beloved, we should love one another. 1 John was written to point people to Christ, to give Christians assurance of their salvation, and to help Christians discern the difference between true and false teachers. So at the very end of the previous chapter, chapter 3, in verse 24, we read that whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. And so one of the roles of the Holy Spirit, according to this verse, in the life of the believer is to help them overcome their doubt. And you could say the broad scope of the Holy Spirit's divine activity includes convicting the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ, and transforming believers into the image of God's Son. And the Holy Spirit is the supernatural and sovereign agent in regeneration and in baptizing all believers into the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit also indwells, sanctifies, instructs, empowers believers for service, and seals them until the day of redemption. So all of this ought to provide us with an incredible assurance of salvation. It's part of what we're talking about in 1 John, different tests that you can do to see whether or not the person who's speaking is a true prophet of God, and to test whether or not the faith that you think you've received is actually true gold. And all of this is, again, helping us give more and more, gain more and more assurance of salvation as given by the Holy Spirit. I mean, I love how another passage out of Romans 8:16 says, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." So this is saying that the inner testimony of the Holy Spirit may be, and I would say is, the strongest assurance that one could ever receive. And this assurance is God-given. It's not something that you just convince yourself of. It's something that the Holy Spirit convinces you of. The inner testimony of the Holy Spirit is a gift from God. It's not fake. It's genuine, so that you can know, not just cognitively up in your head, but also emotionally down in your heart, that you belong to Christ. We're talking about exercising, again, the discernment of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is going to give you an assurance of the truth of God's Word and the truth of doing some of these tests here in 1 John to see whether or not the person who's speaking, the prophet, is a true prophet, and whether you, are, as a receiver, are receiving truth, the truth of the gospel. And so the Holy Spirit has some responsibility in revealing this to us, but you also have a responsibility yourself. What's your responsibility? Well, verse 1 says, test the spirits to see whether or not they are from God. So that's partly your responsibility, right? You're to be testing the spirits. And as the beloved, those who are loved by God, those who have been saved by God, then we have a responsibility to grow in and to exercise our discernment in these areas. I mean, listen to how God warns the believers in the Old Testament. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 8 says, "For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are among you deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams that they dream." So again, Jeremiah is saying, don't be deceived. Don't listen to everyone who looks good or sounds good. You got to compare what they're saying with what God's word says. I mean, don't listen to everyone who says they have a dream from God. I mean, in today's world, there are a lot of crazy people on TBN who say they have heard from God. They say they have dreamed dreams and seen visions. They say that they've had special revelations from God. I mean, you ever turn on the TV late at night or watch some YouTube video? I mean, some of these false teachers, they just want your money. And they also promise things that they could never deliver. And they also have very questionable doctrines that they teach, and they're questionable stewards of their own resources. I mean, some of these guys have struck it rich off you because you're not giving discernment to do what the Bible says. In 1 Thessalonians 5:21, it says, "Test everything and hold fast to what is good." Now, don't go away, because when you come back, we're going to continue to talk about how everything that glitters isn't gold.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Tyson in just a moment as he continues to teach young men how to actually get rid of worry instead of how to manage it forever. But that's not what Adam's doing. He's helping young men understand you can't actually get rid of this. But the thing is, most people have never been taught how to pray beyond, "God bless this food," or "help me pass this test." This generation of young men is drowning in anxiety that previous generations never actually faced. They're worried about digital drama, social media perception, and problems that literally didn't exist 20 years ago. Meanwhile, the mental health industry is making billions telling them to cope with anxiety instead of actually cure it. And the Masters University is a place that takes an entirely different approach, just like Dr. Tyson is doing here today. He actually is a professor at the Masters University. Other colleges are adding more counseling services and safe spaces. TMU is teaching young men biblical solutions that actually work. They're being equipped with tools their grandfathers used, but that their generation has never actually learned. You can find out more about the Masters University and if it's the right fit for you, which I think it probably is. Just go to masters.edu/manhood right now. And something else that I think is the right fit for you, that would be Fortis Plus. If you haven't downloaded Fortis Plus right now, you are missing out so much, because the type of things that you're hearing right now from Dr. Tyson, you can hear on steroids, because we have several other Fortis Institute fellows who are pumping out content every single day, and it's being distributed at Fortis Plus. And guess what? The best part about it, it's absolutely free of charge. There are hundreds, maybe even thousands of hours of content available on Fortis Plus right now. And it's not static content, folks. It's content that we're adding to every day. And it's free, because young men in crisis need immediate help, not another subscription. So download it right now. You can go to the place where you download apps on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or simply visit fortisplus.org. And the reason that this app is free is because of our gospel partners, men and women just like you all over the world who see the value in what Fortis Institute is doing. Our mission lines up with their mission, and they have decided, you know what? I want more people in more places all over the world to have access to this content that's being created. And so they've decided to link arms with us to make sure that happens. If that is you, if we've ever produced content that has helped you and you want more people to hear the content coming from our ministry, and go to fortisinstitute.org right now and find out how you might be able to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Now, let's get back to Dr. Adam Tyson. This is Way of Manhood.
Welcome back to Way of Manhood.
American men really are in crisis. You can look at the number of men committing suicide, the number of men struggling with depression, the number of fatherless homes.
And now back to your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
All right. Well, welcome back, guys. We're talking about how everything that glitters isn't gold. In fact, 1 John 4:1 says we ought to test every spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, but test everything and hold fast to what is good. That means that you need to test it all, everything. Any Bible teacher says, put them to the test. I mean, they could be super popular. They could be on TV. They could look really snazzy. They might appear that they're really successful. They could look and sound so good. but you have to listen to what it is they're saying and then compare that with the Bible. And just because they're using a Bible, that's not good enough. They need to be using the Bible correctly, cutting it straight, giving a sense of the right meaning of the passage, paying attention to the context and the original author, and making sure it all fits with all that the Bible says. We should be exercising spiritual discernment, but it is listed in 1 Corinthians 12 as one of the spiritual gifts, okay? So we all need to be doing this, but it is mentioned here, 1 Corinthians 12:10, to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, here we go, to another, the ability to distinguish between spirits, and to another, various kinds of tongues, and to another, the interpretation of tongues. So in that one verse, we're just told that this is a spiritual gift, that you have the ability to distinguish between spirits. So while we all have this ability, there are some Christians who have the spiritual gift of distinguishing between the spirits. In 1 Corinthians 14, we're told, let two or three prophets speak and let the others weigh what is said. So there you get the idea of the gift being put to practice, like let two or three people speak, but you got to have these other people weighing in on what is said. I mean, to weigh there means to evaluate by paying careful attention to. It means to consider, or to weigh means to judge. And this is the type of discernment exercised by the church of Ephesus in the book of Revelation, where Jesus says to that church, I know your works, Revelation 2:2, your toil and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. So again, I'm just saying Jesus is commending the church of Ephesus for their strong doctrinal understanding of truth and error, and they were testing those who called themselves apostles and that weren't really apostles, and they found them to be false. So this is an example of what you're to be doing in your church, right? I mean, you might not be the pastor or the elder, so you may not necessarily have the full responsibility of doing this, but I'm just saying as a church and as believers, we are commanded not to believe every spirit. In other words, you can't believe everything that you hear. You know, for instance, if I were to say that God told me to tell you to do these four things, then God will make you rich. Or if I say that this certain prayer that you pray, if you repeat it after me, you'll receive a rich blessing. Or if you repeat this certain phrase, after me, you'll be healed of all your diseases, then you would hopefully look at me like I'm crazy. You know, it's not that easy. God works like he works, but it's not a formula. And so the responsibility, again, of every believer, not just pastors or elders, is to put to test the spirits. To test here in 1 John 4:1, to test the spirits here means that you're to make a critical examination of what is being said in order to determine its genuineness. So you are responsible to do this, right? You are, not just me, not just your pastor, but you are to make a critical examination, just like a jeweler today would test your gold to see whether or not it was real gold. You need to be willing to test everything that you hear with the Word of God. And so we've clearly seen already today that the Holy Spirit has a role to enlighten you, and you have a role also to test everything that you have. And then we also have to understand, not only is there the role of the Holy Spirit and the responsibility of every believer, we also know about just the reality that false prophets do exist. And that's at the end of verse 1. It says, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. You know, I hear some people saying, hey, this isn't really happening. You know, as long as they have a good heart, we're all God's children. And I'm like, whoa, time out. Many false prophets have gone out into the world. You know what I found? The pluralism of our culture has prevented anyone from referring to someone as a false teacher. Right? I mean, people get upset in a hurry if you call somebody out and say, that's a false teacher. But the Bible tells us we need to be doing just that. I mean, I heard one false teacher on one of these crazy shows late at night. It said something like this, poverty is from the devil and that God wants all Christians to be prosperous. So my question to you would be, is that true or is that false? Here's another statement. God will not move unless I say it. Why? Because he has made us co-workers with him. He sets things up that way. Again, that's a crazy statement, right? That's not coming from a true Bible teacher. Another false teacher said, "You are a little God on earth running around." That was actually said by Benny Hinn. "You are a little God on earth running around." Another well-known false teacher said, "The Bible can't find any way to explain this." Not really. That's why you've got to just get it by revelation. There are no words to explain what I'm telling you. I've just got to trust God, and He's putting it into your spirit just like He's putting it into mine. Do you hear what that false teacher is saying? "I can't explain it. It's not in the Bible. You just got to trust me that this revelation that's been given to me to tell you to, you know, whatever, give me more money or say this certain phrase and you'll be healed on the spot." You know, this false teacher saying, "I've just got to tell you to trust me and put it in your spirit. I want to help put this in your spirit, just like God put it in my spirit." You know, a well-known husband and wife, a duo, false teachers that said this: "When we obey God, we're not doing it for God, we're doing it for ourselves, just to do good for your own self. Do good because God wants you to be happy." I mean, what is that? You know, we're not doing it for God, we're doing it for ourselves. That's the epitome of false teaching. Another false teacher said, quote, "Anyone who tells you to deny himself is from Satan," close quote. I mean, didn't Jesus say, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me"? So this is crazy stuff. You know, another false teacher said, "Our alms and offerings open up the heavens. Tabitha's good works and charitable deeds cause God to raise her from the dead. That's one reason God does miracles today, because of your charitable giving." So in other words, that person is saying, if you give a lot of money to God, He's more likely to do a miracle for you. Again, all examples of false teaching. Another famous false teacher said, "Trust me, there is no hell." Okay, so why would I trust that guy? I'm trusting the Bible. One more. Another false teacher said, "The Lord told me you need to sow seed into my ministry for your breakthrough." Okay, that was T.D. Jakes, right? "The Lord told me that you need to sow seed into my ministry for your breakthrough." Man alive, I can't believe that some people listen to this stuff. And I'm just saying, we don't need to be shy. It's okay to call out a false prophet when you hear one. I mean, Jesus did it all the time. Matthew 7, 15 and 16, He says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles?" A little bit later, Jesus says, "You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth." Again, Jesus is quick to call out false teachers. He says it this way in John 8:47, "Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God." Again, Jesus in Matthew 23:13, "But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut the kingdom of heaven in people's faces, for you neither enter yourselves nor allow those who would enter to go in." So again, just keeping in step with Jesus, we need to be willing to call out false teaching when we hear it. And that's really what's going on here in 1 John 4:1. Again, many false prophets have gone out into the world. This simply means that they have begun chasing what the world chases. They're chasing fame and fortune and feelings of pleasure. And imagine that you're walking through a bustling marketplace and every booth has someone calling out, "This is the real deal. This is what you need. Don't miss out." Some sellers are honest, others are frauds. And if you're not careful, you might hand over your money for something worthless. So what we're talking about is the spiritual world is much the same. Voices and messages compete for our attention every day. Preachers on TV, books in the Christian bookstore, social media influencers, even friends and family, they all sound persuasive, but not all of them speak the truth. And so John, here in 1 John 4:1, tells us plainly, not every spirit is from God. And so behind the words, we hear the principle. The truth is that we got to listen to the spirit of truth and not to the spirit of errors. And that's why John calls us to discernment. That's why he says, test the spirits. He's not telling us to be cynical, but to be careful, to weigh what we hear against the word of God, to filter every message through the gospel of Christ. Because if we don't, we risk being swept away by deception that looks spiritual, but it leads us far away from Christ. And so today, as we've looked at 1 John 4:1, we've seen how we need to be discerning Christians, believers who don't fall for every spiritual sales pitch, but who know the difference between truth and error, between the Spirit of God and the spirit of the world. And so listen to me, guys. You got to be willing to do this, to know what's true, to know what's false, and it's good for you to be able to build discernment as we study this passage of 1 John 4 together. Let me pray for you. God, thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity to be reminded that all that glitters is not gold. And I just pray for that young man out there who's maybe had various church experiences, who's been exposed to a lot of different teachers, and just give him the wisdom to test the spirits to see whether or not they are truly from God. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This has been Way of Manhood from Dr. Adam Tyson, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.